Thanks, Josh, for reading for us, and welcome to Cross Life Church. My name is Michael. I'm one of the pastors here. I'll be speaking from that passage on the topic of give habitually. This is the second in our Money Mottos series. Last week, we heard of God's call to us to live simply. Today, we are going to hear the call to give habitually. And just by the way, these mottos come from a book called The Barefoot Disciple by Joel Frank, which has been really helpful for this series as well. As far as what I'd like to receive for Christmas is concerned, a nap, I think, would be really nice. So being able to kind of rest, I think, would be really, really great. I'm going to pray for us as we head into God's Word. Please join with me as we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, you have given us so much. Your word says that you did not spare your own son, but you gave him up for us all. And because of that, you will also give us all things. Heavenly Father, we pray that today we might be encouraged to give like you give, that we might be changed and shaped by your grace to us in the cross, so that we are cheerful givers. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I have been known to indulge in the odd video game every now and then. There is probably a bit of reaching my 40s nostalgia for my younger years going on there. And when I play, I consider myself kind of not half bad at the games that I do play. At the same time, I am aware that there are gamers in the world, and probably even in this room, who would scoff at my meager gaming achievements. These are the kinds of people who have like these monstrous gaming machines with massive cooling fans and little LEDs on everything that light up and glow as they work their machines. They have things like ranks and ratios and collections and achievements. And they would look down their nose at me the same way that they would look down their nose at other people who say, oh, you know, you play computer games. I play computer games too. I'm really into Candy Crush. In other words, I am very aware that I might play games, but I am not a gamer. Just like I might drink coffee, but I have not yet ascended into those hallowed halls of those who call themselves coffee drinkers. I cannot taste the difference between your artisanal, freshly ground, single-origin coffee and Nescafe Blend 43. I also drink my coffee with milk, which is also probably part of the problem. You know, your South American coffee beans that have passed through the cat's digestive system, they are lost on me. I drink coffee, but I am not a coffee drinker. And I might read books, right? Like, you know, I can read. I know the letters that make up the alphabet. I know that you can put these letters together to form words. And I do read books. Like, I read them for work. I read them for my postgrad study. And sometimes I read for fun. But I'm not really looking to amass a book collection. I'm not really trying to collect a library. I don't go out looking for things to read. And so I might read, but I am not a reader. Today I want to ask you, though, you might give a little bit, but are you a giver? There is a difference between the two. And the Bible doesn't say God loves people who give a bit. The Bible doesn't say God loves people who give just once. The Bible says God loves a cheerful giver. You see, givers have a giving heart. They love to give. They don't need to be forced to give. Giving is their default setting. The switch in their brain is always set to give mode. In other words, they give habitually. And so we can't call ourselves givers just because we can point to one particular time that we have given. And I don't think we can call ourselves givers either just because we have jobs. You know, I think this is a very common error that we make. You know, we work, we think we are giving to society, we think we are loving our neighbour. And in one sense, right, you know, we are, but on the other hand, we are also being paid for that work. We are giving, but we are also receiving. This is a zero-sum game going on here. And in the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 6, we have already received our reward in full. Today I want to encourage you to give habitually. to not just give, but to be a giver. And we're going to do this because we are followers of Jesus and he is the supreme giver, but also because it's an outlook on life that is better for our emotional and social and mental well-being. And so last week we heard our first money motto, which is live simply. We saw how simple living creates reserve and margin in our lives that enables us to love and serve others with generosity and joy. But we also saw that that reserve and margin can be abused. We can use that for our own pleasure, for our own enjoyment, for our own benefit. And that's not what God wants us to do with our reserve. Once we have that reserve, that margin, God wants us to use it to give. And we see that in the example and words of our Lord Jesus Christ. The passage that we read today, Acts chapter 20, this is one of Jesus' followers, the Apostle Paul. He is speaking to the elders of a church in Ephesus in ancient Greece, and he's telling them about the way that he lived his life among them. And he says at verses 32 to 35, "And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my necessities and to those who are with me. In all things, I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" When I was young, I remember reading a martial arts magazine about a boxer who was a Christian. And he was asked the question, "How do you put together your Christian faith and this activity that you do with your life of kind of fighting people, basically hurting people? How do these two things go together?" And his reply was that Jesus said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." Now, I appreciate the wit of that answer, but this is probably not what Paul is talking about here, right? You can see what Paul actually is talking about from the way that he conducted his life. Paul, he went from city to city. He went from country to country speaking to people about Jesus. The closest worldly job to what Paul did at that time was probably a traveling philosopher. These guys, when they went around, they were entitled to receive accommodation from homeowners who listened to their teaching. It was expected that their listeners and their hearers would give them money for their ideas. That's just what everyone did. But Paul didn't want any part of that, did he? Verse 33, it says, "I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel." Paul instead worked a second job to support his own ministry. He made tents for a living. And that's why missionaries who work secular jobs as well, they're called tent makers. And Paul did this because, you can see, he wanted to give more than he wanted to receive. He recognized that the Ephesian church was weak. They couldn't give back to him. And if Paul got paid what he was worth, then that would be it, right? In a transaction completed, business is done, reward in full. There's no treasure for him then, if that's the case. But if he gives to the needy and does not receive, he's following Jesus. Because that's what Jesus did for us, wasn't it? We know how much Jesus has given to us. Jesus gave up his heavenly position. He did not consider the equality with God something to be grasped. He became a man. He gave his entire life to God, living that perfect life, and he gave that entire life for us when he died on the cross for us. And doing that, he rescued us from hell and brought us to heaven. Have you paid Jesus back for what he has done for you? Could you ever pay Jesus back for what he's done for you? Now, of course we can't. Right? Nothing that we do can ever repay that act of grace. But what we can do, if we say that we follow Jesus, is to have that same heart of Jesus and that same heart of Paul, to want to give more than we receive, to give without thought of being paid or commended or respected, to not just give, but to be a giver. Is that us? You know, probably not, right? Had the intro question earlier, you know, what would you like to receive for Christmas this year? I should say, by the way, that this was not some sort of plot to find out what you want so that we can get you all Christmas presents, right? Please don't expect that. We are not Oprah, right? We can't do that. I kind of asked it because it's a question that is fairly easy for us to answer, though. You know, what would you like to receive? What would you like to get? I'm sure that even if you didn't say that in front of other people, you probably know the answer to that. These things, they come naturally to us. But if instead I ask the question, what would you like to give? I think we'd have a lot more trouble coming up with an answer. We'd feel a bit more awkward. Which question would a giver be more ready to answer? You know, if people looked at the pattern of our lives, if they looked at the things that we read about, the things that we talk about, what we're doing with our lives, would they conclude that the overarching message of our life is I want to give stuff? Or would it be I want stuff? Do we by our lives model that it is more blessed to give than to receive? Or is our message more, it is more blessed to spend on ourselves than to give? Jesus was the supreme giver. We all know how much Jesus has given for us. We who follow Jesus are called to be givers like him. And so how can we do that in Sydney 2023? Well, I think that there are some small changes that we can make to get ourselves closer to being givers. I think first one is that givers look. It's about what givers look at. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, the eye is the lamp of the body. What you are looking at shapes what you love. You know, just say you're a person who loves computers. What you'll do is you'll read computer magazines. You'll read computer websites and news sites. You'll look at other people's computers and talk about them. You'll browse the computer shops in person and online. What would a person who loves giving look at? Maybe they would look for opportunities to give. Maybe they'd want to hear the stories of other people who have given. Maybe they'd read the letters of the people they had given to see how their giving has helped and not just treat it as a box to tick or a job to do. Can you change what you look at to shape what you love? Can you be more of a giver in where your eyes are pointed? Are your prayers to God the prayers of someone who wants to give or who wants to receive? At the very least, maybe we could stop pointing our eyes at things that are about giving to ourselves, and that might give us the space, the margin, to be aware of how we can give to others. Givers look. Second thing as well is that givers actually give. Givers do not just talk about giving. And they don't put off their giving until the last possible moment, like you put off studying until like the day before the test. You know, that's what you do with things that you don't want to do. They, givers, definitely do not do what I heard another Christian do, which is how they change their giving every week at church, week to week, based on the quality of the sermon, right? You don't do that. Givers just give. And Christian givers, that they give first to Christian needs, but they also give to everyone. That's what it says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. It says, so then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. And so there is this idea here that givers first give to their own church. They first give to the work of the gospel. Joel Frank, the writer of the Barefoot Disciple book, he writes, in my opinion, for a modern Australian, there is no scenario in which giving less than 10% is justified. You know, do not mess with 10%. I heard a story once about an older Christian who had as a rule for his life that he would give 10% of his income to church. A younger Christian found out about this and he said to this older Christian, "You are operating on law, but Christians should operate on grace." And the older Christian replied, "When your grace gives more than my law, that's when I'm going to listen to you." Because that's what grace should do, shouldn't it? Jesus' grace did more than the law. Jesus called his people in love to do more than the law. But what we tend to do is we take grace and use it to give less than the law, making a mockery of both law and grace. And so for your income, whatever it is, give the amount that a giver would give to church. I'll also say at this point a bit about how to give, right? You know, our church is going to accept people's giving in whatever form you want, all right? So if you want to start giving your giving in sacks of 50-cent coins every week, we will accept that. We will count every single coin and we will deposit that. But it helps churches the most for giving to be electronic and regular nowadays, like weekly or fortnightly, just for our budgeting and spending purposes. So if you can do that, that would be appreciated. But notice that Galatians 6 doesn't say only to give to the household of faith. It says to give to everyone. And this might be kind of on the face of it something that's really, really hard to do, right? And I don't think this means that Christians should be like communists, you know, trying to distribute our wealth equally to each of the 8 billion people in the world. But I think this is more like the parable of the Good Samaritan. This is like where if you see a need in front of you, there is someone real who would be helped by your giving. You don't just walk by on the other side of the road. You give whatever it is they need, regardless of who they are, regardless of if they're your enemy or not. Givers give first to their church and then to everyone. And then finally, it sounds a little bit weird, but also givers don't wreck it. What do I mean by this? Well, it's very easy when you're giving, whether you're giving your money or your time or your service or your energy, to kind of subtly complain about it. Maybe we're doing this because we want pity from people. Or maybe we're doing it because we want to give a kind of a subtle criticism to those that we are giving to. You know, we're kind of lecturing them to be better, that it's their fault that we have to give to them. You know, why don't you just toughen up, right? But if you do that, then you have completely wiped out any heavenly reward that you might get for your giving. You've wrecked it. Certainly not what Jesus did when he gave to us. Why not just give? Jesus talks again in Matthew chapter 6 about hypocrites. When they are fasting, going without food, they disfigure their faces so everyone can see their fasting. So everyone can see what a big sacrifice it is that they are making. And Jesus says that is not the way to go. Now, Christians should have the understanding that when we give, the less credit and payment we get from people, the more we get from God. And that is why givers don't wreck it. So do you give, or are you a giver? Do you want to give? Do you love to give? You know, I think all of us could do with a little bit more work here. And I think that what this means for us is more time with Jesus, more time reflecting on how much he has given to us. It means discipline in what we look at, where we point our eyes, directing ourselves to things that givers go to. It means discipline in our giving, not just giving what we feel, but giving the right amount to the right things in the right way. And it means giving without spoiling it, giving in silence, giving in a hidden manner, giving without boasting, whether it is loud or subtle. Can you show by your life that it is more blessed to give than to receive? Our second money motto is to give habitually. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for how much your Son Jesus has given to us. Thank you that his giving to us far exceeds any payment or reward or even respect that we can give to him. And Heavenly Father, we pray that we may be shaped by that to want to give more than we receive, just like Jesus did for us. Heavenly Father, please help us to be seekers of treasures in heaven rather than treasures on earth. Help us to see what happens when we give without earthly reward. And Lord, we pray that we may be people who focus our eyes on how we can be a blessing to others, how we can be givers. And we pray that we may put that into practice in how we actually give. Not just to the household of faith, but to everyone. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.